Today, with so much uncertainty in our lives, it's understandable to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. It's normal, but it's easy to check your stress and get help for your mental health with free resources from CalHOPE. Make a game plan by calling our warm line at 833-317-4673 or try our secure and confidential live chat today at calhope.org. CalHOPE, proud partner of the San Jose Sharks.
He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network. Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
At the near sideboards now, twisting, turning. Aho throws it down, putting it into the corner. Blake puts it back. Aho, the shot, score! Sebastian Aho on a give and go with Jackson Blake. And what a rocket that was from the high slot. He fed the puck down into the left corner, and then he backskated to an open spot in the high slot. The pass from Blake was perfect, and the shot was even more perfect. It's 2-1 Carolina.
Yeah, a lot of it comes down to all five guys being really on the same page, and that's, you know, we have, you know, obviously structure that we have in place of what they're doing and how we want to break out pucks. And a lot of it comes down to maybe winning a puck battle on the wall and getting into the defenseman and having that center underneath. Some of it is, you know, filling the lane so we can now make a puck and move a puck to the right spot. We don't double up. So a lot of it's coming into our defensive zone and our breakout routes and the habits that come with those.
All right. Good morning, everyone. It is a Friday. Spring has sprung and the San Jose Sharks are going through the final stages of their 2024-2025 season. And it is so very interesting to me to watch the Sharks right now. And I'm trying to remember in my adult life, maybe even my entire life, if I can remember ever watching a team that is turned over to the extent that this year's team is turned over. There were 10 players on the roster last night that were not here on opening day, and that is pretty remarkable. You look at, obviously, Desharnais, Liljegren, Schultz, Mukmadulin, Ostapchuk, Giles, Cagnoni, Kovalenko, Graf, and Romanov. That is a lot of turnover on any given roster, and you know, that doesn't include guys like Klim Kostin and Noah Gregor, who are also on the team this year. Gregor would be another guy who was not on the roster at the start of the year. And it just speaks to how much has changed this year. And I give Mike Greer a lot of credit because he has been very, very cold and calculating in the way he's gone about this and trying to turn the Sharks into a better team. And I always look back at, you know, the difficult decisions he's made, whether it was Brent Burns, whether it was Timo Meier, whether it was Erik Karlsson, whether it was Tomas Hertl. Those are very, very difficult decisions to make because fans like those players. Fans buy tickets to see those players. And then you look at most recently, Fabian Zetterlin getting traded away, or Mackenzie Blackwood earlier this year, Mikael Granlund. You go down the list with these players that, you know, guys were already, in terms of the fan base, were kind of glomming on to. It was very easy to root for a Mikael Granlund. It was easy to root for a Mackenzie Blackwood. It was easy to root for a Zetterlin, a Jake Walman, a Nico Sturm, all these guys. But as I watch these Sharks continue to build themselves out in the new version, you do see the size and the speed of a Giles most definitely out there on the ice and what he's capable of. And you watch what Ostapchuk can do, and you're just seeing these new young guys. Luca Cagnoni, he's another one. And yes, he's not one of the big guys, as they like to say, but he's smart with the puck. You can see his vision carries over from the A into the National, and watching the potential that these players have, I think it's fun. And I think that, you know, a lot of teams, they get to this point of the year, it's just rolling out the same thing night after night and not seeing much change and wondering what they can do in the offseason. Well, Mike Greer is evaluating and figuring things out in real time. He is using what is left of this season to maximize where the Sharks are going to be in the future. And that's easier said than done, right? Like, you don't look at everything that the San Jose Sharks have gone through this year and think to yourself, okay, well, you know, let's tear it down once again. Let's sell these players. Let's bring in all these new guys. But Mike Greer was able to do that. And I didn't think it was coming to the extent that it was. But when you watch what he's trying to turn them into and maybe get an idea of how, you know, Ryan Warsawski's systems apply to bigger players and having more size out there, you do see the change. You do see a little bit more of what maybe the future looks like in San Jose, where you've got big guys who are strong, who can use their physicality. You've got smaller guys who are a little bit speedier and a little bit more skilled, and you just see all of it combined. And I think that's what's fun to watch. And again, you do take note of Shakir Mukhmudulin, who had a really good game, in my opinion, and is coming into his own in the NHL. He was active. He was disruptive. He was aware. He was present. He was doing all the things that you hope that a guy turns into after multiple reps in the NHL. And these reps that he had at the end of last year and then what we're seeing now, this is paying off. He looks more and more like a defenseman of the future for San Jose. Luca Cagnoni, we can't say that yet just because he had his debut. He had his first game, and you could tell that the nerves were high. All night long, I didn't see anything much that I didn't like from him. I know he misplayed one puck, but I thought there were other times where, especially after the first period, it seemed like the game slowed down for him. And I actually think he slowed down. I think he was running hot in that first period when he was out there, just a little bit too much, a little bit too much caffeine, as they would say. But he calmed it down after that, slowed things down, was a little bit more comfortable with the puck on his stick, and even said after the game that he was just glad to get it over with. And I think that, you know, he used that term several times, just glad to get it over with, just glad to get it over with. That doesn't happen by accident because, listen, you work this hard, there are going to be so many nerves going into a big event. I can remember, you know, some of the big events in my broadcasting career where I've had, you know, firsts. I don't know that I was quote unquote, you know, glad that it was over because it's fun in the time and nobody's judging your performance the same way they are judging an athlete's. But there was the feeling of, okay, I got through that first one. Now it's time to build upon what I learned in real time from that experience. So for the young players that are getting their opportunities, I think that you're watching them have rapid growth. And I think that speaks to the mindset that Mike Greer is bringing in. And I also think that going up against a team like Carolina for a lot of these guys, that is something to be a lesson learned moment. Their aggressive forecheck, the way that they can play so quickly, the way they move the puck, their physicality, they do a lot of things well. And you have to be able to adjust on the fly very, very quickly against a team like Carolina. They've been very successful the last 3 years. They've been very, very much at the high end, the top of the league. And on any given night, they can absolutely blow up on you. And, you know, much to Ryan Warsawski's credit, the Sharks were in another close game. It doesn't matter who's going out there for San Jose, whether it's experienced veterans, whether it's guys making their NHL debut. Ryan Warsawski is getting a solid effort night in, night out. And I don't think that should be overlooked. He's watching these guys come in and prove themselves. And I spoke with Patrick Giles. I spoke with Zach Ostapchuk. I spoke with Luca Cagnoni. You know, I asked these guys earlier in the week, you know, about the idea of, you know, responding to that statement from Ryan Warsawski and wanting to step up to the moment and earn their spot on this San Jose Sharks team. I don't think these guys overlook that opportunity. I think they do really view it as a great opportunity for all of them to have a chance to be part of the future. And we know that Luca Cagnoni is eventually going to be back with the Barracuda for their playoffs here, hopefully. But right now, you know, he's showing, he's getting his chance. He is getting an opportunity to show what he can do. And these are all important things. And I know that almost sounds like a given, but it's not. Like, you've got to look at this and think to yourself, okay, what are you going to get out of the end of this year? And right now we got to see a game from Luca Cagnoni and a little bit of a glimpse of what he can do. And I do like the way he moved the puck on the power play. And I do like the way that, you know, he was moving things around and you can see that vision. Those are the things that you need and want to see. You know, Ostapchuk, I like what I'm seeing from him. It's not obviously a high-end skill game as of yet, but you see the potential and you see what he can bring to the play on the ice. Patrick Giles has impressed me greatly with what we've seen from him. And sometimes, much like we saw this year with Jake Walman, all a guy needs is that chance to prove himself. All a guy needs is reps and continuity and consistency to show that they can be a high-level player. I mean, Georgi Romanov last night, he had a really, really good game. I don't think anyone should overlook that at all. He had a high-level performance. He was making big stops. He was making big saves. He was locked in. His fundamentals, his movements were really, really solid, and I had a fun time watching him. I mean, it's not every day that you get to watch a guy have that performance and have that opportunity, and they come up and they knock it out of the park. This was a game that the Sharks did not concede a goal until about halfway through the second period. And then it took into about 5 minutes of the third for Carolina to take the lead. And then about 10 minutes after that, they added a third. But Carolina, I mean, let's be honest about where they are versus where the Sharks are right now. They are in a prime playoff position. They are fighting to make sure they don't have a lull towards the end and give up any ground to a New Jersey. So right now, yeah, they are in a solid number two spot in the Metro. So right now they are getting ready for the playoffs. They are getting things dialed in. They are getting things ready for the challenges that lie ahead. And a team like the Sharks is a great place for them to, you know, take care of business. And they never let the game really overwhelm them. That was one of the things that I really liked about Carolina's game last night. Other than their, you know, high level of talent, you watch the players out there on the ice, you see what they can do. But even though they got down 1-0 early, and even though it was taking them a while to break through and Romanov was having nice saves, there was no panic in their game. There was no, you know, frantic nature about it. It was just doing the same thing over and over and over. They continued with that forecheck. They continued with many things that they are capable of doing as a team to give themselves an opportunity to have success throughout the game. And eventually they broke through. Eventually they tied the game. Eventually they built a lead. Eventually they built on that lead and they were able to control that to the finish. That is a team that is capable of going on a deep, deep run. And obviously the San Jose Sharks should look at that and try and figure out what they can do in the future to learn from that. I mean, I know that talent is the bar none. Those are developed finished products in the NHL playing for Carolina that are allowing them to have this level of success. They're at a different level right now than where the San Jose Sharks are, but the Sharks played a hard game against them. They realized that they were not good enough, and now they're looking at this and recognizing that they have more steps to take, but also can look at that game as a learning moment to see a team that does it really, really well. There's something that can be taken away from every game for these players on the San Jose Sharks, and I obviously mean the young guys. I'm not talking about the old guys. Or the veterans is a more appropriate term. But, you know, all the young players should be looking at what the teams they do that are in a playoff position do well and figure out what they can do to adapt that to their game. And it's going to happen again very, very shortly when they play, you know, a team like Boston, who is not having their greatest year, but still, you know, has a number of high-level players they can learn from. And they're going to play Toronto, which is another team that they could be learning from. Then the Rangers are going to come into town who are still in the hunt. That's another team that they can learn from. And then they're going to finish off the month by taking on LA, who is yet another team that they can learn from. But maybe the most important lesson of all is once again how important the third period is. The Sharks, and this is from Darren Stevens, have lost 28 games this season, including 19 in regulation, after leading or being tied in the third period. Both are the most in the NHL. The NHL record for most regulation losses after leading or being tied in the third period is 20, last accomplished by the 2009-2010 Edmonton Oilers. So that is a bit of a reality check for San Jose. They are capable of playing 40 minutes of high-quality hockey, and they can't bring it out to the end. It's that third period that continues to be the issue. It's that third period where they're not able to bring it to the finish line. And that is going to be a point of contention heading into the offseason. And it's going to be something that a lot of these young developing players think about. And they're going to have to realize what it takes to push their way and push the team collectively to the finish line. And for lack of a better term, it takes a village, right? That's a team effort to get you all the way to the end line. But that's what the San Jose Sharks need to do. We are going to talk to Zach Ostapchuk later in today's episode. I spoke with him earlier this week, and this will give you an opportunity to get to know him a little bit better. But I also want to get into some of the highlights out of last night's game, starting with the wildest goal from William Eklund that I think any of us have ever seen.
As the clock ticks down to 35 seconds left in the San Jose penalty. Finally, it's worked free, and the Sharks can get out. Only Brent Burns is back. Here's Eklund down the left side with Schultz moving in. Eklund waits. Toe drag. Tripped up as he throws to the net. Save made. And we got a tripping penalty coming up against Brent Burns on this play. Brilliantly drawn by William Eklund. And that'll even things up for 25 seconds. It'll be 4-on-4 for that span. And then the Sharks will have the man advantage.
Oh, but not so fast.
Arbiter review has been determined that the puck went into the net legally. Therefore, the call ice is confirmed. We have a good goal.
William Eklund tripped up, rug pulled out from under him, puts it in the back of the net, gets his 15th of the year, and the San Jose Sharks have an early 1-0 lead. That's not the way that any of us really drew it up, but for the San Jose Sharks, yeah, you'll take the goal any way it comes. They gave the fans some life, and suddenly SAP Center was rocking, and the Sharks were going to hold on to that 1-0 lead for quite a while. It was 10:31 of the second period when Seth Jarvis got his 27th of the year to level things at 1. And then, 5 minutes into the third period, Sebastian Aho gives Carolina the lead for good.
At the near sideboards now, twisting, turning. Aho throws it down, putting it into the corner. Blake puts it back. Aho, the shot, score! Sebastian Aho on a give and go with Jackson Blake. And what a rocket that was from the high slot. He fed the puck down into the left corner, and then he backskated to an open spot in the high slot. The pass from Blake was perfect, and the shot was even more perfect. It's 2-1 Carolina.
That was his 26th of the year, and that was where Carolina would take over the game and not look back. I give the Sharks a lot of credit. They kept this one close. They gave themselves a shot to the very end. That is what we've come to expect from a Ryan Warsawski team. I don't think this game was anything to be too upset about from the perspective of the San Jose Sharks. I know afterwards Ryan Warsawski thought three of the goals were relatively preventable, but again, I look at these two teams, where they are in their timelines. I still like the effort the Sharks put out. I was not expecting a win specifically in this game. I'm not happy with the loss, but once again, I find myself satisfied with the effort and hopeful for the future. Let's get into some of this post-game reaction before we talk to Ostapchuk. Luca Cagnoni spoke with the media after the game.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying it all week since the call-up. It's pretty surreal. Definitely where I started my career, like not getting drafted in the dub. And yeah, it's a pretty special moment, even for my family. Probably them the most, too, seeing me go through it. And them being by my side, it's pretty special to have them here.
And that's a big night for Luca Cagnoni. It's a great opportunity for him. He gets to see where exactly his game is. I'm sure that there are things that he's immediately taken away from that game that he's looking at and saying, okay, this is where I need to be better. This is where I need to improve. These are the things I did well. He's going to get that feedback from the coaching staff. He's going to get that feedback from the other players out there on the ice. I'm sure now he's got more questions to ask. He's got more to figure out. But again, you got to have that baptism by fire. There were moments in the game, especially early on, where Luka just looked like he was a little bit, not frantic, but looked like it was a little bit overwhelming. However, that being the first period is really the only time I saw it. And then he settled into the game nicely. And I think that's exactly what you want to see. You expect guys to be nervous. You expect them to be, you know, taking in a lot when they're making their debut. And after that, I thought he really settled down and played pretty nicely. He was also asked about all the work that he put in to get to this point.
Yeah, I mean, definitely put in a lot of work in the summer. I wish I could tell you I expected it this year, but honestly, I didn't. Like, kind of came into the year, like, hoping to get some AHL and see what happened, but it's been a pretty unreal first year pro. And then on the game, first period was pretty tough. Like, they're obviously a hell of a team over there, top of the league, so it was definitely nice to kind of play a good team and get my feet under me. And the second and third, I thought it was a little bit better.
And that, again, is a testament to the hard work that he's put in. And even if it was not expected of him to get to this level this quickly, that's exactly what he was able to do. And I don't think that should be discounted. You always want to have these guys being able to take the opportunity that comes to them. And, you know, we did not expect this of Luca Cagnoni to be this good this fast, but he's making the most of this opportunity. He's not overwhelmed by the moment. He's stepping up and maximizing everything that he's learned up to this point in his career. And he's getting that, you know, education in real time in the NHL. But that's exactly what is expected of these young players. Head coach Ryan Warsawski was asked about, you know, what he's seen from a Mook Medulin and the other young players that are out there on the ice.
Yeah, for sure. I think we're seeing that Muck was outstanding tonight. So I think we've seen some real growth over these last 2-3 weeks since what the Four Nations break there. And we hope that as guys continue to play, the Giles, Chucky, you know, Cags while he's here, continue to improve. And that's all we can do.
And I do think it's important to note that he referenced that break, the Four Nations break, because sometimes you do need a little bit of a stop in real time for these young players. And that Four Nations break allowed their bodies to heal up, and it allowed their minds to kind of recover with everything they had absorbed up to this point. And I think that's specifically important for a guy like Mook Medulin, who is, you know, making this transition to a consistent career in the NHL and hopefully being an impact player for the Sharks for years to come. But since that stoppage, where you can get a little bit of a reset, where your body can get a little bit more fresh, where you can look back at everything that's happened and learn how to apply that more on the ice. It's not an off season, but it's that little bit of a break where learning can happen. And that's why I'm so excited about the change for these young players from this year to the next. Think about how much we've seen from Macklin Celebrini and from Will Smith and from Colin Graf and from Shakir Mukhmudulin and from Yaroslav Askarov. Think about all they have done in this year. And then think about what's going to be like for them in year number two, to where they've had an offseason to absorb. They've had an offseason to prepare for what they learned in this year. They've had an offseason to understand what the rigors that their bodies have gone through. That is an encouraging idea of what the San Jose Sharks could be in the relatively near future. Now, obviously, it doesn't happen overnight, but look at the change we saw in William Eklund. In 2021, he played 9 games. In 2022, he played 8 games. Last season, he played 80. This year, he's got 64. He already has more points than he did a year ago. He's almost tied himself in goals, and everything is trending in the right direction. That was after his first full season with an offseason to recover, relearn, and figure out what he is going to be doing for the future. More from Warzone.
You got to move pucks. You got to keep the puck moving. We tried slashing a little bit more tonight through our neutral zone, just to push them back a little bit. But they're a reason why they've had success the last 5 years playing this system. Every guy does it. They play extremely hard. They got Stahl and Slavin that lead the way as far as leadership group. They've got swagger about themselves. It's a very well coached team, and they give you everything they got every single night.
No lies detected, and Ryan Warsofsky and his staff knew that they were getting into a tough matchup tonight, but again, the team played hard. You think about how much talent has been taken away from this San Jose Sharks team. Obviously, there's a lot of young talent, but a lot of developing talent, a lot of inexperienced talent. The team is still fighting to the very end. One of those new young players on the ice last night was Zach Ostapchuk, who I spoke with earlier this week. This is what he had to say about coming to San Jose. All right, we're here with Zach Ostapchuk here at Sharks Ice as we get ready for a game on Saturday night. Take me back. Actually, before I ask that question, are you called Stopper or Chucky more? Like, what's the nickname for you?
Yeah, I like Chucky. I guess Osti in Ottawa because Brady, but I like Chucky.
That start when you were like 12?
Honestly, more junior. Yeah, probably when I was 15, 16, boys in Vancouver started it.
It's a good nickname.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, let's go back to the question I was going to ask, the real important stuff beyond nicknames. Take me back to when you found out about the trade.
Yeah, honestly, the deadline kind of passed, so it was like 3:05. The deadline was at 3:00, and I was on the road when I was watching it on the TV with my roommate, and all of a sudden I got the call from our assistant GM in Ottawa, and told me it was a San Jose, and I was pretty fired up that it was here.
Yeah, I mean, what were your perceptions of San Jose, obviously?
Yeah, obviously, I just knew them. They're a really young team, up and coming. A lot of skilled young guys here with a good mix of veterans, too. So, yeah, it's exciting times here.
For sure. And, you know, the team also talked about wanting your physicality and your skill set. That had to be relatively flattering, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, anytime you feel wanted to go to an organization, I mean, that's a nice feeling that the management has some confidence in me and I want to prove them right. So,
did you have much experience coming out here to San Jose? I mean, because you're from Alberta, right?
I am, yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, you came out, I'm guessing, you were here earlier this year. So was that it?
Yeah, that's the only time I've been here was earlier this year when we played the Sharks there, and yeah, I loved it, honestly. I mean, the palm trees, we were right by that big mall over there. Mm-hmm. It's yeah, a lot of good restaurants around and stuff. It was a pretty cool town.
Have you found any good spots yet?
A couple in Campbell. Just everywhere in the prune yard, I just kind of walk around there, and what's it called? Tritoda 360, is that it?
Yeah, that's what Giles was saying.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite spot I've been to.
Nice. Yeah, I got to imagine the weather is a little bit nicer as well.
It is, yeah. Definitely nice to wake up. You can throw on some shorts, you know? Like, you don't have to throw on your winter coat every day. It's a nice feeling.
Yeah, no, it's pretty nice out here. And I guess just, you know, what has the last week been like for you? Is like that huge adjustment where all of a sudden you're moving and you're making new teammates. Is it just been such a whirlwind that you haven't even had a chance to think about it?
Yeah, I think kind of that. I mean, I think I'm starting to settle in here the last couple days, finally getting on this time zone and getting used to the guys and the schedule here and all that. But yeah, definitely it was a lot the first couple days, kind of overwhelming. I didn't really have a time to stop and think, but I feel like in the last 2-3 days, I've really settled in, you know, processed it a little bit. So yeah, I'm settling in.
Did you know any of the guys here from previous parts of your career?
I just knew Noah Gregor, obviously, and I know Jack Thompson a little bit. Okay. I played World Juniors with him, but other than that, no, I didn't really know anyone.
Is it weird when suddenly you're walking into a new room and you're one of the new guys?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's kind of the first time I've experienced that. Even when I got traded in junior, I got traded to a team where I already knew like 6-7 guys, so it was a little different. But yeah, coming in here, obviously I'm a rookie, I'm a younger guy, and to meet a bunch of new veterans and new young guys, I mean, it's a lot to take in, but the guys have been awesome to me and bringing me in.
How important is it with this weird bit of scheduling where you go Saturday to Thursday without a game to get in some real practice? Because to me, that's so rarely offered to you guys throughout the season.
Yeah, I think that's huge. I mean, especially for me, practice time right now, just learning the systems and getting to watch extra video and stuff, having practice days is huge. I mean, my first game, obviously, like, I only got one practice before that, so it was kind of a little lost out there at some points, but I think now, yeah, I got 2-3 practices under my belt, so I'm starting to get a little more comfortable.
I mean, people always talk about the tactics and the X's and O's and the formation, but at the end of the day, like, this is what I always come back to. It is still hockey, right? Like, you have a pretty good idea of what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, most of the stuff's the same. It's just the little reads here and there that just tweak a little bit. But, yeah, I'm starting to get used to those. So,
how has it been with Warsawski, obviously the youngest coach currently going in the NHL? Have you had a chance to chat with him much?
Yeah, I've chatted with him a little bit. He's been awesome to me, helping me out whenever I have a question and stuff like that. He's got an open door policy for me, so I mean that's huge. I feel comfortable going up to talk to him, and yeah, it's been good.
Did Greer talk to you when you got into town as well?
Yeah, I got to talk to him a little bit. Obviously, I had a couple phone calls with him earlier, but to finally meet him was pretty cool.
Right after the deadline, Warzo put out that challenge to everybody, kind of all the new guys and everybody's here saying that, you know, we want to figure out if you're part of the solution here for the future. When you heard that, did that fire you up?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's my goal, is I want to be part of a winning culture here. I want to, you know, bring, take steps with the organization, with our young guys. I want to be a part of this. So. Nice.
Is it fun being out there with the young guys on practice and such?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, a couple of these guys are pretty funny to be around. They got some good personalities. Celebrini and Smith out there. I love watching them. They just have so much fun, and yeah, it's contagious. So
yeah, and obviously, you know, a lot of the veterans here are really good dudes as well. Have those guys come up to you at all?
Yeah, 100%. All of them have been great to me. I'm playing with Goody right now, and he's been talking to me all the time after every shift or drill. I mean, just I get to ask him questions, and that's somebody I got to watch for a bit now, and I like his game, so to have him on my line and helping me, it's been big.
You ever had a teammate with bigger hair than Mario?
No, when he picked it for the picture day, that was pretty crazy. I've never seen that.
Dude, when he rocked that for warm-ups a couple months ago, the first time he just came out, everybody was like, oh, I didn't know he was hiding all that under there, man. It's quite a look.
Yeah, it is, honestly. It just surprised you when he walked in the room. I was a little shocked. I'm like, I didn't know he could do that.
Has he lived up to his reputation of being one of the louder guys in the league?
Yeah, he's pretty funny, honestly, right off the bat. I mean, I just got into town, and me and Gregor just got to the hotel, and right away, Mario was picking us up. So, I mean, it was, yeah, I got to meet him right away. He's the first guy I met, and he's been, yeah, talkative every day, and yeah, he always brings energy, so it's fun to watch.
Did Gregor tell you about living with him previously?
He did, yeah. He said this guy's going to be something. Like, he can't wait for you to meet him, so, yeah.
So what's next for you as you're kind of getting acclimated to the Bay Area? Is it just get through the end of the season and worry about that stuff later? Or are you trying to find like a good – I'm sure people have talked about sushi and burritos. That generally comes up when they talk about the Bay Area and coffee.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, I'm a huge sushi guy, so I've figured that out pretty quick. I've already tried a bunch of different spots. But, yeah, honestly, I mean, it's been raining the last couple of days, so honestly, yeah. I've kind of just been hunkering down and kind of processing everything. But I know my girlfriend's coming out here next week, so I think when she comes, maybe we'll do some exploring.
Nice. Well, I appreciate your time, man, and yeah, welcome to the Bay Area, and I'm sure I'll be bugging you again soon, all right?
Perfect. Thanks for having me.
A really nice young guy, willing to talk, excited to be here. I love the fact that these young guys, even though their lives have been upended by trades, are excited to be in San Jose. They like the youth movement. They like being a part of all of this. in San Jose. They're excited about the future, and that's exactly the type of mentality you want when you're at the end of a difficult season, when you are trying to maximize yourselves for the future. It's not just that these guys are being given an opportunity or that they've earned an opportunity. It's that they're excited for that opportunity. They're excited for what's going on in San Jose. That seems like it is being sold correctly, and these guys are all excited for the future. All right, we are out of time. I'll be with you on Saturday as the San Jose Sharks play host to the Boston Bruins. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Raines, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.